Presbyteries, and it's a lot of hard work. So thanks for being faithful in that call. It's a gift to be with you guys today. I will share a little bit more about myself and my family here in a second, but I thought I would start us off with a video, and then we'll go ahead and jump in. There we are. So again, it's great to be with you guys today. I have the privilege and the joy of working with college students, my wife and I and my boys, and we get to love on college students. We get to share with them about Jesus, share with them the gospel, and get to invite them into church and to be part of our lives. And so it's a great opportunity that I have. I love my college students. You know, and it may not be that long ago, maybe it is a long time ago that you were once in college, and just, or maybe a young adult in a trade, and you might be able to remember back to those years, but it's a very special time in life where you're figuring out what you do, what you're going to give your life to, what you're studying, and so it's a privilege that I have, and I'm very thankful for you guys to be a part of that. So again, I work with CCO in Indianapolis, Indiana, on the campus of Butler University, as well in partnership with our church, New City Church. It's a PCA church in Indianapolis, and so we get to reach out to college students there. So in the picture, this is my lovely family. So you see my wife, Joanna. We've been married, yes, 13 years, and get to brag on her a little bit. She ran our first vacation Bible school. For years, we'd come here to chapel, and we are very blessed to be here, to bring our kids here. And Joanna, being just so gifted, was able to run that back at New City at our church. She did a great job. It was like 95 kids for the first time. I would have melted under all that pressure, but my wife can do like 10 things at once while I can some days hardly put my socks on. So thankful for her. She's an incredible partner and joy in life. We have four beautiful children. Liam is our oldest. He's 10. Brennan, who's actually with us this morning, he's 9, and then we got Eli, and then Silas, and so our lives are full of adventure, always doing something, playing basketball, going swimming, not as important, but you could say some level of importance. We have two dogs, Jack and Jubilee. Jack is the golden retriever there in the picture, and Jubilee is the chocolate lab, and so this is kind of our life. This past summer, you can normally find our boys fishing at our local pond next to our house. Silas, there in the blue rain jacket, he's finding worms in our garden. You can often find our boys wrestling around the house. You can pray for my wife. There's a lot of boys in our house and only one girl dog. So, but she's an excellent boy mom. And then we're going camping. And then there's that younger, or that smaller picture of Eli up there. He's our resident ninja in training and loves going every Monday to learn and to practice that. So, yeah, so this is our lives. This is the gift that God has given to us. And so we're very thankful for them and for what the Lord is doing in and through our children. Many of you guys probably know the two characters up there, Nancy and Steve. I have the privilege to be their son-in-law, and they send their loves and their best wishes to you guys. I was told last time I was here that I wasn't able to come back unless I brought them, but as you can tell, I snuck in. So I did attempt to bring Steve, but they're actually getting involved in our, we call them Strength to Strength group. It's our older generation. But Nancy and Steve are helping take a leadership role in that. So they led that this past weekend. And so, but we're very thankful for them. I know that many of you love and miss them, but it's a gift to have them in Indianapolis with us. And so that was Easter Sunday. They're a mile down the road from us. They get to come over even this past yesterday. Nancy and Steve came over, took the boys to the park so that Joanna could get caught up on some house stuff and get us ready for our next trip this coming week. So as you can tell, life is full. Even my youngest there, the red one, that's Eli. I don't know if you can ever get a picture with all of them looking forward, but so they love you guys, they miss you, and but they're doing quite well in Indianapolis. I am a ruling elder at New City Church. It's a Presbyterian church there in Indianapolis. And one thing that makes CCO a little bit distinct from, say, InterVarsity or Campus Crusade is their partnership model. So I work for Coalition for Christian Outreach, but we have a strong interest and a strong desire for the church. And so we partner with the local church to reach the campus. So we very strongly see the church as the vehicle which God has given us to reach the nations. And so I get to work with CCO, but in partnership with New City Church, and specifically I do that at Butler University. And as well, we have students at our church that are trade students. Some of them are doing electrician or carpentry, and so we kind of have a plethora of students from, I'd say, 18 to 27. So, but I have the privilege, again, of reaching out to those young adults. Why college ministry? Why should we pursue our college campuses? Well, today here in the United States, there's over 20 million college students, and it's a critical time. If you can think back to your own years, when you're asking the questions of, who am I? What am I going to do with my life? What is my purpose for being here? And it's a great time of development and growth in these students becoming adults and stepping off into a direction for their lives. And so I do really truly believe it is one of the most critical mission fields here in the West. And it's a privilege to have that opportunity to be part of that. And I'm very thankful for you guys' role. I often hear chapel having lunch and taking interest in students' lives at Geneva. You know, even though Geneva is a Christian college and it's a wonderful place, their connection to the church is one of the strongest, I would say, apologetic arguments for their faith. The more that students have a relationship to their church, to you all, the more likelihood that students will continue to walk in that for the rest of their lives. So thank you for doing that as well. Our strategy is kind of a three-pronged approach. One, the gospel. We want to share the gospel with students, that Christ died for them, he loves them, and that they're invited into a relationship with him. So we share the gospel along with getting them to be part of a local gospel preaching church. And so we invite students to come, be part of church, to be part of our lives, and as well helping students to gain a vision for their lives. How does a medical major, how does somebody that's going into the fields, how do they actually understand that God is making all things new, and that applies to their lives, their studies, while they are in college and when they go out. So again, that we preach the gospel, connect them to a gospel preaching church, and then we help them to take the ordinary life, they're sleeping, they're eating, going to work, walking around in life, and place it before God as an offering. And so we really want students to understand that every square inch of all creation is the Lord's, and that they get to partner with him in that. How is that happening? So here's Butler University at a glance. Butler is a private university in Indianapolis. There are 4,834 students that are enrolled, 35% of them are involved in Greek life, 160 international students, and then 67% of those students live on campus. The rest of them are mostly upperclassmen living in apartments or houses. So whether it be a conversation over coffee, outreach on campus, friendship or on with a classmate, or even a survey about spiritual life, many students are being introduced to Christ. And so that's the joy that I have. This is this last year. The picture to the left I partnered with an international ministry that reaches out to international students. And that day in particular, we had right around about 90 students who came from, and many of them are Pakistani, Indian, and they love family, and they don't get to get off campus very often. And so we invited them all to come to a local park. And it was an incredible day just watching them love on my children. International students love children. They love family. And it's so refreshing to be with them. And you'll notice we're asked to block out their faces just because many of them come from places in the world where if their families or people that are around them find out that they are Christians or believers, there could be consequences for them. But it's a gift. And you can tell my oldest, Liam, is there. He is the next natural campus minister in my family. He loves going out, talking to college students. He shared one day when we were driving to campus, he goes, Dad, he's like, every time I come to Butler with you, he's like, I feel like I get to go out and I get to disciple college students too. And so the mission that I get to be part of is not just mine, but it is my family's. The picture next to that is a house that's right off of campus. And I had the joy to partner with Campus Crusade, also known as CRU. And so our students, we meet here at this house right off of campus. We hold prayer meetings, discipleship meetings, game nights, and it's just a place for us to connect. And here is a meeting where we are praying for our mission trip that we took in March to the Dominican Republic. So here's some more pictures of us doing life on campus. I think, honestly, I have one of the best jobs. I get paid to drink coffee, hang out with students, and it is so thrilling for it. So I'm very grateful, Joanna, I got to be more part of the mix this year as we were praying for this morning. Right now we're praying and thinking, discerning Joanna's next step, about her also maybe coming and joining me as part-time staff, so which is really exciting because, honestly, she's much better at it than I am, and so I'm grateful for her and her role. So one of the stories this year is we took a group of students to the Dominican spring break. So you can kind of see a picture of us down there to the bottom left. That was our group from Butler. We took right around 25 of us there, and we traveled to Dominican Republic, and we partnered with an organization there called the Filter of Hope in Puerto Plata. And so what Filter of Hope is they have bases or teams that are on the ground, and they partner with local churches to go out and to, one, install water filters to those who are having issues with their water, and in so doing, build a relationship or a connection as well. Then we share the gospel. So it's an excellent program, and we went, there was one of three college groups that week. There was Butler, which was us, Lynchburg, and Central Illinois, and together we gave out 183 water filters, shared the gospel with 280 people. We were able to encourage 131 Christians that were there, and then 44 of them prayed to receive Christ, plus one of our translators that week as well. So one of the special joys of that week was that Joanna and my two oldest boys got to go with us. And kind of how it works is we go in, they teach you how to install a water filter. It's pretty simple. And before you even go out into the neighborhoods, you start off with one of the local churches. So we go into the local church, get to meet the pastor there, the leaders, and then from there, a member, we break up into teams. A leader from that church would go with us. We'd have a translator go into somebody's house that they've prepared beforehand, and we would install the water filter because many of them do not have clean water. And then after that, we would ask them if it was okay for us to share the gospel. And so it's an incredible experience, very simple way for students to get involved in short-term mission trips. And one of the beauties, again, is that we get to partner with the local church. And so another kind of a fun story from that, Joanna and I had told our two older boys, hey, like, we'd love for you guys to get to know the kids, get to know the families. You can help install the water filters, but as far as sharing the gospel, let mom and dad or the students do that. The college students, after the first day, were very eager for our children to go with them. And they don't say no as easily as mom and dad does. So we were sitting there, and Liam comes running back in the room. And he's like, Dad. I got four people accepted Jesus today. And so he got to go out, and four people accepted Christ with his testimony. And Brendan, I think, had six. Not that it was a competition. Seven, sorry. Of course, mom and dad started weeping. But what a privilege it is that we get to share the gospel with college students, but God is working in our children to also share the gospel with students and those that we get to interact with. And then obviously Brennan, and then the picture to the right, there's Eli and Silas, again, our two resident ninjas in training. They're at Nancy and Steve's house that week when we were overseas. And so another exciting thing we get to be part of is get to go to conferences every year. And one of those conferences, we normally go to Jubilee, but the last 2 years we've gone to the Cross Conference. Incredible conference. It's in Louisville, Kentucky. You get Kevin DeYoung, John Piper, a lot of the more reformed folk that come and share there. This year we had 15,000 college students that came from all over the country to it. And this was our small group. But it's such an exciting time. You don't sleep much, play a lot of card games, but it's definitely pretty exciting. One of the exciting stories that came from that is one of the guys I'm discipling right now, his name's Brady, but he'll be going off to Trine University in the fall for the first time. But he was sharing with me his summary that before Cross Conference, he had no interest in spiritual things. He didn't really care about walking with his faith. He only came to church because his parents made him. But after Cross Conference, he was excited to walk with Jesus. And so over the summer, him and I have been walking through, how do I study the Bible? Where do I find a church up at Trine? Some of those questions. And so that's an exciting thing. But that's a lot of fun. This is a group that came from our church in New City. So here's some more pictures of that. But it's a great event that we get to partner with each year. One of the questions I'll oftentimes get asked is, hey, what do you guys do over the summer once college students go back home? Well, the reality is college students come back home to New City as well. So we have a lot of students that come from all over, from University of Utah, Ball State, and they'll come back to Indianapolis. And so the summer is a great time to continue to reach out and to connect with students. So one of the things that we've started is we do what we call lunch and learns. So after church on Sunday, I'll provide a meal. Students come, hang out, and we'll learn a topic. So one young lady taught on Augustinian confessions on disordered loves a couple weeks ago, and then this last week we did a conversation on evangelism. How do we share our faith? And then to the picture to the right, we are blessed in that we have a local seminary called Indianapolis Theological Seminary, and the president is doing a six-week seminar on apologetics. And so there are students coming from all over the city from different churches to come and hear him. So work still is taking place in just different ways throughout the summer. This is a personal story I wanted to share with you guys, just kind of what is happening on campus. You don't always have these stories. I wish I could say that they happen all the time, and they do in different ways. But this is one student, Nick, who I've got the privilege to disciple the last couple of years, and excited to share his story. So go ahead and listen, and we'll share more after.
With that backdrop, we're now going to hear and celebrate publicly what Jesus has done personally in the lives of these individuals.
I have always struggled with finding fulfillment in my life, and nothing could fill the gaping hole that has been at the center of my being for as long as I could remember. But there was no shortage of things that I used to try and fill that pit within myself. One of my roommates at this time was participating in Lent, and I ultimately decided to participate, not knowing what it was and what it would bring, which was actually the start of an incredible journey for me, the beginning of my walk with Christ. Giving up worldly desires like alcohol and partying and adding new things into my life like prayer and fasting gave me an overwhelming sense of clarity. And with that, the Lord followed. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And what I felt was nothing other than the undeniable pulling of God tugging on my heart. Going into the summer, I spent a lot of time looking into other testimonies, scripture, and the essence of the good news to find answers to this inexplicable feeling that I was experiencing, just trying to make sense of it. I came out of the summertime with a newfound truth, one that has changed the entire course of my life and shifted my being at its very core. The gift of everlasting life that was provided unto me through the blood and sacrifice of my Lord and Savior. I now not only want to show people what he did for me and what he still does for me, how he took me in, unclean and dirty, and changed my heart, but I want to show everyone that the love, grace, and forgiveness that he assigned onto me is available to any and all.
So this is Nick. Met him about a year ago at one of our weekly gatherings, and came up to Nick afterwards. And we got to talking, and he started sharing his testimony with me, how previously that year he was going through a difficult time in his life, and one of his friends, roommates, was talking to him about Lent. Nothing more, nothing fancy, but he started wondering, he's like, well, Lent, I'll do that. What is that? And so Nick started doing Lent, and as he dug in further and further, he got to this question of who is Jesus? And then over the summer, Nick kept using YouTube and different resources and started getting a Bible, and that summer, Nick started going to church, and he accepted Christ. And when I met him in the fall, he was a brand new believer, and it's such an amazing testimony. One, like, God uses anything for open people's eyes to the gospel, and it's so powerful to see. And so over the next year, Nick and I continued to walk through the Bible together, continued to meet, interact with him, and Nick was so on fire for the Lord, and he would share, he's like, Dustin, he's like, I can't believe I've gone this long without knowing Jesus. And he would talk about how, like, before Christ, like, life was just kind of black and white and it was dull. But afterwards, meeting Jesus, he's like, my whole life is like technicolor. He's like, everything is just so much more beautiful. I have so much more joy. And because of that, Nick was excited to share his faith. And so he started with his two roommates, and Logan and Josue. And in January, Logan accepted Christ, and Josue was soon after that accepted Christ. And so Nick is eagerly sharing his faith. And so I started a Bible study with those three guys, and we started going through what I call like our foundations of the Bible. What are the foundations of Christianity? Helping them grow in word and just understanding who the Lord is. And so Nick is part of an active preaching church. He's walking with the Lord. And now that because of that, they'll be going into a fraternity, him and his three roommates, to a place where there's really, we have no access into. And there's, to be a Christian in there is not a popular thing. And yet these guys are committed to telling others about Christ. And so that's what I get to see on the college campus, which makes my job a lot of fun. You know, oftentimes we'll just see the headlines of what is going wrong with society and culture. And yes, there is. But at the same time, God has not forgotten his people, and he's raising up a next generation. And so that's the exciting part that I get to be part of. I don't know if Butler is a unique place, but my students are so eager to jump in that if I don't do something, they'll already be doing it. And so that's a lot of fun for me. I don't know why. Butler is a private university, so maybe that's different from other colleges, but they're eager and active to get things done. And so, I can't do this without you guys, and so I'm very thankful for your partnership that allows us to be on campus, to be meeting students like Nick and others, Kylie and Morgan. Kylie is the one in the green there, Morgan's the one in the striped shirt. Kylie will be coming on this next year to be an intern and to help continue to minister to college students. And so it's good work that I'm excited to be a part of. One of the scriptures this morning, actually two scriptures I was thinking about coming here, is if we think about, so if you look at Luke, Acts, right, Luke is writing to give us like a historical account in Luke, but it's all rushing towards the resurrection. The resurrection is the most critical piece. And then out of that, as we go into Acts, it's because of the resurrection that the gospel is going out to the nations. And if you read Acts, you know that there's many challenges that Paul has. But at the end, Luke gives us this last little line, and it's proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ without boldness and without hindrance. Paul wanted the gospel to get to Rome. Why? So that it could go to the nations. And it's easy, I think, for us to get discouraged or to wonder, like, what is the Lord doing? But if we could even just look around this room this morning, each one of you is a miracle of grace, that the gospel has gone out to the nations, and we are evidence of that even this morning. But I can tell you that is happening on our college campuses. I would say even in the last couple years, there's been a shift, I feel like, in college and young adults. As Keller says, there, students have less spiritual furniture. They might have less lingo, but they're more open to the gospel. They're more open to hope and relationship. And so that is an area that I get to be part of, to speak into students' lives, invite them into meals, and they're eager for it. So that's what I get to be excited about, is that the gospel is going out, continues to go out to the campus, and so I'm very thankful for that. Paul also reminds us in Philippians where he says, I thank my God in all of my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It is such an encouragement to be, even though we are far away. I'm in Indianapolis, you guys are here I'm in Indianapolis, you guys are here in Pennsylvania. But yet, I come and we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's such a gift to become, to be encouraged, but also to know, even to be prayed for this morning. That was so humbling to know that you guys are actively praying with us, giving financially to our ministry and the work that God is doing. And so thank you. I do think I have one of the best jobs to hang out with students, get to point them to Christ. It's a lot of fun. So I would love to invite you guys to seek the Lord with us continually. And so part of that, one thing that we are praying for is for Joanna to come on part-time. And so we had some questions of like, well, you know, how do we do this? Do we continue to do this with a CCO? Do we go a different direction? We have four boys. She's a homeschooling mom, so you can imagine life is full. But as a family, we are, I would say, on mission to reach the campus, to reach college students. Even my boys are a part of this as well. And there's a lot of women on campus, and I can't reach them as nearly as my wife can do that, just because she's a woman, and there's conversations that I can't have. And so I would love for Joanna to be part of that. She has a history of working with women, both through health coaching as well. She worked with homeless youth when we first got married. And so we're praying towards that. One of the things that we would need for that is an increase in our financial support raising. And so we're trusting the Lord for that as we go forth. And so please pray for us. You know, it's a lot to take a step of faith in this direction, but we're going to trust the Lord and continue to move on for our daily bread, as well as for our time and strength and energy as well. So one of the things I've been doing the last couple of years is I've been partnering with New City Church. They have had a desire in my life that I would become ordained in the PCA. Now, I don't know, Tom, if that will happen or not. I've taken my Hebrew. I've forgotten most of it in the last couple of years. But there's a local seminary. My church is been paying for me to go and take classes there, and I'll be in Pentateuch and then history of philosophy this fall. But I appreciate your prayers for that as well, and for my family, as writing papers and all that takes extra time. So, but it is a gift having the local seminary in your own town. One of the things that we are going to be specifically working on this next year is reaching out to more men, particularly our freshman class, and trying to raise up a larger group of men. So we have a good amount of seniors that are men, but we need, as you look at our juniors, sophomores, and our freshmen, we have a little bit less. And so we're praying that God would raise up men to help lead. And so we'll be having more tangible ways, doing wilderness trips or different things to try to get men to come join our ranks. And then lastly, so my mom, this past February, I was supposed to be taking 10 credits, but my mom had kind of unexpected operation she was needing a heart surgery. So it was a genetic thing where her one of her valves was having some issues, so she had to have open heart surgery. But I appreciate prayers for that. As many of you guys know, my dad passed away, gosh, it's 7 years ago. And it's hard, as some of you may know, being a widow and taking care of your house. When I went up in February, had to shovel off like 4 or 5 feet of snow on top of the roof. And man, I'm not, being in the city, I'm just not used to that kind of lifestyle anymore. But it's hard, you know, she needs help mowing her grass and we are several hours away. So I would just ask for your prayers of like for us, like what does that look like for us to love her, to honor her, and to be a part of her life even though she's farther away from us. But again, thank you guys. We cannot do this work without you. The church is essential for college students. I think that they'll say that if a college student has or a young adult has a relationship with an older mentor in the church, it will double the likelihood that they will stay a part of the local church as they transition from college or young adulthood into the workforce or what God has for them. So relationships are so essential. So I'm thankful for you guys, for your partnership, and the work that you guys do here. But would love to field any questions or any things like that this morning. So, and if there's no questions, that's okay too. So, yes. Yeah, I think as far as I understand, so the question is, what are the professors? Are they hostile to the gospel? I would say some can be. It's a liberal arts university, so they have, like, for instance, they'll have a Bible class. And in that Bible class, they'll teach you that it was just recently that somehow that we thought of as God's word as being written and inspired by God. But for the history, that was never the case. Well, that's obviously a lie. And so students will come to me and they'll say, how do I do this? You know, do I just go on a stampede and try to take out the professor or something like that? So that's something we'll have to kind of counsel students through. Butler is, I would say, in some departments is more conservative in some ways because it's a wealthier university. I think tuition's gone up to now where it's like $60,000 or $70,000 to go there. So you need some scholarships to go there. But so I don't know if that just carries a more conservative vibe to it, but I'd say a lot of the professors are semi-friendly. Butler has a faith and vocation department, which is different, where like they see the faith as being part of a student's education. So I think for the most part, professors, some are eager. It's interesting though, actually, I think some professors are kind of scared to say anything or to stand up for their faith because it's pretty easy, say, if a professor was to raise their hand or if they were to show their faith in the classroom, then, you know, they could lose out on different things with other professors or their job could be in jeopardy. So it's definitely, I think, professors have to walk with a lot of wisdom on the campus for sure. So, and it goes by university. Some are going to be more progressive than others, but thankfully, I think the president at Butler still sees what we do on campus as a viable part of the campus, and they're excited about the work that we're doing. Even this last year, the Butler Police Department, and that's not professors, but we were having an issue with parking out in front of our building, and they gave us 6 parking spots for our students to go park at. So I think there's a general acknowledgement of the work that we are doing is that it's good and encouraging for the campus. So, but please continue to pray towards that the Lord would continue to allow us to be a blessing to the campus and that they would see that as such. But I know some other campus ministers that are at other universities and that's not the case. So the question was kind of what demographic do you, you know, as far as like when you have students come, are they Christians on the fire for the Lord? Are they new believers? Are they don't know who Jesus is, I think. And then also, what was the last? Yeah. So yeah, so if you invite students to church, is there resistance to that? So this is going to be very from, I think, campus to campus, but to answer your last question first, so it is interesting, statistics and information is going to show you that a lot of students are interested in faith or spirituality, and the church not so much. And so that's the kind of the general poll. I think there's a lot of reasons for that as far as helping students gain relationships and friendships. So you're not going to go somewhere where you don't know anybody, and so that's critical for students to have that. So I've had a couple students throughout the years where I've had to sit down with them and we talk about the church and why is the church needed, and you know, why is it that you need your older generation, or why is it that you need people that are different from you? So we definitely have that. One of the things we do, thankfully, at Butler with our group of students is that there is a large group of them that are connected to one of the more predominant churches. So I think that because there's the momentum from that, a lot of the students do get plugged in. One of the things we do as well once a month is that we will do a worship gathering at one of the local churches just to help students understand where they're going and things like that. So, yeah, I think at Butler, I think most of the students are part of a gospel preaching church. Sometimes you got to push back against this lie that somehow that because they're part of a campus ministry, they don't have to go to church on Sunday. And then you also have the issue of apathy, where it's like, you know, it's a lot, I don't know, for them, they'd rather sleep in and listen to pastor sheets than actually go hear their pastors. So, but we definitely continue to encourage them and help build those friendships. And as far as like students that come to us, I would say, so we put out surveys for students. Students kind of self-elect when they come talk to us. And I'd say a lot of the students that come, at least originally, have a faith background, whether that's being from a Catholic home or a Protestant home, but they're interested in spiritual things. So they'll come talk to us at the beginning. And I would say actually a lot of them do come from a Christian background, but when they get to campus, they get caught up in the fraternities and the different things that are going on, the different events. And so once that happens, there's a strong pull for the students to be part of that. And so you'll see a little bit of a dip at the beginning of the year. And the SM stories like Nick, which I think is growing, where you have more non-believers who maybe they had a grandmother that went to church or something like that, and they have some sort of a connection, but it's getting less, like the gap is getting more. But one of the big things that I get to encourage students is they do come, maybe they have Christian parents, but they're actually walking away from the Lord just because that's what their parents did. So I get to help motivate them and connect them into the work that we're doing. So how about do one more question back here? Yeah, so are there any other CCO staff in Indiana? We have, so there's one guy up at IU Kokomo, which is just north of us, and I'd say several, maybe pre-COVID, there was probably about 7 other positions that were in Indiana. Unfortunately, kind of the trend, I don't know if it goes along with what you were seeing, Tom, but there is I'd say CREW and other ministries, even CCO, have lost a lot of staff in the last 4 or 5 years. Part of that was COVID was hard on college campuses, and then I think it's been more challenging for organizations to try to figure out how do we walk through this time. I don't know how RUF is handling, if they've lost staff or not. But yeah, so right now it's just me and another guy holding the fort down in Indiana. But if you're interested in coming, we'd love to have you. So thank you guys for letting me share this morning.
Thank you, Dustin. Well, I appreciate you indeed coming and joining us and giving us an update on your ministry. Let me pray. Father, I do thank you for Dustin and for Joanna, and thank you for their heart for college students. And my prayer first, Lord, is that you would give us a similar heart. We minister in a different place, in a different context, to different students, but I pray that this church would have a growing heart for the college students that come our way, that we would have the ability to listen and to love and to serve them, and that indeed we would be a church where we are an example of discipleship that can last a lifetime. I do join with Dustin in praying that you would give them great wisdom with regard to Joanna's role. We thank you that she has a heart for this as well and gifts for it. We pray that you would open doors for her to be able to serve in a more active way. I do pray, Lord, that you would strengthen Dustin as he goes through seminary. We know, and Steve knows, that is a difficult thing. It's a challenge. And we pray that you would strengthen and guide he and Joanna through that seminary process and that he would excel at his studies. We do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to minister to men that you have given to Dustin, and we pray that you would continue to do that. We do pray you would raise up more men, young men, who will bless generations to come with their leadership, and that this would be an opportunity that Dustin and others would seize, and that your kingdom would come and your will would be done through the men that he's able to be in contact with. And we do pray for his mom. We thank you for bringing her through this surgery, and yet we do pray that you would strengthen her and help her, and that you would guide Dustin and Joanna as they seek to be of help to her from a distance. Lead them, Lord, as to what would be wise and good. And we pray that your goodness and mercy would follow her all of the days of her life until she goes to be with you. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to hear what you're doing around the world. Thank you for the chance we've had. Thank you for the opportunities that are coming up. Give us a heart for your gospel here and everywhere. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.